Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward. Today, you guys are going to love the topic we have today. We have the opportunity of having Sean Ellis with us, who's been the head of marketing for Eventbrite, Dropbox, LogMeIn. This is a man who specializes in growth hacking, and want to welcome to the show, Sean Ellis. Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be on.
This is exciting stuff. Growth hacking and funnel hacking is obviously right up our alley. This is kind of stuff we specialize in, trying to find as many different hacks as we possibly can. So welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. Tell us, if you don't mind, a little bit about how you got involved in growth hacking and really kind of help people understand what growth hacking is all about.
Yeah, sure. So I coined the term growth hacking in 2010. It was at a time where I was just finishing up working with Dropbox and was realizing that the fastest growing companies were sort of approaching growth in a different way than what a traditional marketer would do. And the best thing I could think of to describe how people were approaching growth was to just kind of put a new name on it, bring some attention to it being really a different sort of thing. But it's basically rapid experimentation across really the full customer journey to drive sustainable growth of customers and revenue.
I love that. Sustainable growth of customers and revenue. I think that anybody who's listening to this, that's one of the main things they want, is to try to increase and sustain as many customers as possible, growing revenue. And I know that hacking obviously is a term it's kind of been thrown around a lot recently with everything from biohacking, growth hacking, funnel hacking. But I think those hacks, when you really look at it, those are the things that really can control and just scale a company like crazy. I know as we were kind of getting started here, I was telling you a little bit about the growth we've had here at ClickFunnels as far as being able to triple our user base and our revenue over the last couple of years, and our goal to do the exact same thing this year. I'd really like to kind of just dive in, and I know you've got a book coming out here, basically hacking, you know, all about hacking growth. Help people understand exactly, you've had a lot of experience at some major companies. I mean, Eventbrite, Dropbox, and LogMeIn. And if you don't mind, just take a few minutes and help people understand what, as a small to middle-sized business, what do they need to be focused on to be able to do exactly what you just said there as far as sustaining customers and growth?
Sure, yeah. So the important thing is kind of is understanding where the business is at any given point. Sort of at the stage of the business, what should you take your very limited resources? Even a big company has limited resources, and it's about focusing those resources on what really matters. And so in the early days of Dropbox, Eventbrite, and LogMeIn, I started the week that Dropbox launched. So really early, joined just for a six-month period in an interim role. And it was all about putting in the systems to make the business something that could scale long-term. And so with LogMeIn right before that, I left LogMeIn about 6 months earlier, and I had run marketing from really customer zero through the IPO filing. And so got to see the challenges at different points. And, you know, the initial point is just to make sure that there's something that's valuable that's being delivered by the product in the first place. And if you don't validate that, and surprisingly, a lot of companies just, you know, they think that they can grow despite a lack of value. And if the value is not there, growth will not be sustainable. And so that's the starting point for me, is just make sure that the product is something that the market actually needs. And if not, then you want to be not focused on growth, but really on getting the product right. And then once you've validated that the product is something that the market needs, then going into a stage where you start to figure out, okay, what are the likely channels? What can I charge for the product? And building in the tracking systems, and ultimately trying to figure out, you know, from somebody thinking about, so, you know, funnel hacking is what the title of the podcast is. So like that ultimately it's about that funnel, taking someone from consideration all the way to a habitual user of the product that really loves the value that's coming out of the product. And so that's everything from getting the messaging right initially, but making sure that messaging reflects what ultimately the product makes the product valuable. And then A/B testing really every step along the funnel to make sure that you get the friction out, that so that you can ultimately deliver the experience that keeps people coming back and spreading positive word of mouth. And so I go through a really distinct phase in a company once I've validated that the value's there, where I'm what I call really stacking the odds for growth. And then long term, I'm basically managing growth across kind of all of the levers of the funnel and focusing the efforts of the team at any given point on the lever acquisition or activation, all the way down to revenue and you know, retention and referral.
You mentioned there's three different phases that you really kind of focus on. Obviously, establishing the value first, from that value, getting the right people on board, and then the next thing really was the scaling aspect. So if you don't mind, I'd like to really kind of focus first of all on that second part of that company, because I know a lot of our small to middle-sized business, those who are looking at their funnels right now, they're starting to make revenue and things, and they're starting to grow that company. So assuming, Sean, that we've got the right product and the right value, what's the next thing you need to take a look at?
Yeah, so I kind of discovered this the hard way when I was at LogMeIn. I went out and said, okay, let's just grow this baby. You know, kind of took the old-fashioned approach and started going out and building channels, and realized pretty quickly that I could scale to maybe $10,000 a month with a profitable return on investment on the channels. But when I looked at what was happening, people were signing up and never actually using the product. And so really the next step for me was to make sure I understood what was preventing them. You know, they clearly had enough interest to sign up for it, but then they weren't going through the funnel and actually using the product. So doing some research and then running experimentation to actually get people using the product was, and it took a number of months to kind of get that just right. But that freed us up to where we could now, on the same channels that scaled to $10,000, we could scale to over $1 million a month on customer acquisition with a positive return on investment. So a lot of it is just kind of A/B testing and taking the friction out of that initial user journey. There's some messaging development that's also really important. So understanding why users love the product and then setting a promise early in the onboarding so that people have the right expectations of the benefit that they're going to get from the product. So those would be really kind of the two key areas that I focus on.
I love that. I know that consumption is always one of the biggest problems most people face with any product or service. I know we've looked at the same thing within ClickFunnels, and we've seen once a person's been with us about 2 months, they're really consuming the product, they just stick. So what are some of the things when you're looking at client consumption, what are some of the hacks and stuff that you need to be paying attention to?
So, yeah, I think the biggest challenge is it really kind of depends on the business. So like in the case of LogMeIn, we saw a number of people that were dropping off at the download step on the software. And so originally we just, we just randomly did a bunch of testing there. But when we actually asked them, why did you sign up and not download the software? We found that they were basically just not believing in the value proposition. So the value was that we had a free version. They didn't believe it was free. And so they were dropping out just from a credibility standpoint. They didn't trust the download. And so once we got enough feedback of people saying that, our next test actually gave us about a tripling of the conversion rate by just giving them a choice, download the free version or download a trial of the paid version. And once they saw that there was a choice between a free and a paid version, they knew we had a business model and there was just a little bit more trust there. So I don't think there's any real formulaic thing. It's about knowing where people are dropping off, trying to understand why they're dropping off there, and then running experiments to get a larger percentage of people to complete that step.
I love that. So Sean, did you actually go out and survey the people or did you start trying things?
So initially we started trying things and then fortunately we had their email address because they signed up and then they dropped off. So we just sent emails to them and said, why did you sign up and not download the software? And their response to the email was that they didn't believe it was free. So that's kind of guided our experimentation a little better.
Oh, that's fantastic. So now that you've got people who are consuming your product and things are starting to move and you've gone from the 10,000, a month in revenue and you're up crossing through that $1 million MRR type of deal. What are some of the main things you started looking at as far as really scaling a company long term? What are some of the hacks and stuff you're paying attention to and need to be aware of?
Yeah, so at that point you start trying to think, okay, how do I do this as a team? And I think that's one of the big breakthroughs that Facebook and Uber and some of these really fast growing companies, they've figured out how to put a cross-functional team in place that runs the same kind of cadence of experimentation that marketers do with acquisition channels, but they're doing it across the full customer journey. So whether it's at the revenue type experiments or retention and engagement experiments or activation experiments, they're finding where the leverage is in the funnel and focusing really a cross-functional team to prioritize a number of experiments and kind of set clear objectives at that stage. But they're basically running this growth hacking process, which is just something that gives them the ability to build a backlog of ideas and then prioritize those ideas effectively and ultimately for a period of time, maybe a month or 2 months, really work a point in the funnel where it seems like there's a lot of room for improvement, and then do a check-in after that and figure out is there another area that they need to focus in. But I think probably the biggest difference compared to traditional marketing is that it's this cross-functional growth team that is really working across the entire customer lifecycle rather than different teams in different kind of isolated silos trying to coordinate their efforts.
Talk a little more about this. What do you mean by cross-functional? We've looked at this within our own organization here, and we've talked a lot about the difference between hiring A players versus B players and really getting almost a 3,200% increase in output and functionality on an A player versus a B player. But what do you mean as far as cross-functional team? And then with that, one more side note to that question, and that is, at what point does a company really need to start looking at really hiring to grow that kind of a team?
Yeah, so let's start with the cross-functional team. If you think about the customer journey from when they first are interested in a product, a lot of times it happens through marketing or maybe a landing page, usually even external marketing. And so that would be kind of the marketing team that would be responsible for that. Then a lot of the growth levers, the things that actually lead to growth would be like that first user experience, that onboarding that takes them into the first time they actually use the product. That tends to sit in the product team. So you have these two different groups within the overall company that are managing different parts of that customer journey. Marketing tends to be more experimental, kind of faster experimental, where most product teams that I know of spend most of their time thinking about kind of that long-term customer experience, that ongoing customer experience, with not nearly enough focus on the initial user experience. You might have a customer success team mixed in there, and a customer, like even a sales team, or maybe biz dev. But you've got kind of these different teams along the way. I think the big breakthrough that Facebook really pioneered it was that they built a team that sits across those organizations that's really managing experimentation all the way from acquisition to activation to engagement and retention of existing customers to reacquisition of people who fall out. And it's this team that has marketing skills, product skills, customer success skills, even engineering and user design and user experience, all working together with analysts to run experiments across any part of that customer journey. And being able to work together as a team that comprises a lot of those skills, I think is much more effective. And I think it's a reason why Facebook's worth $400 billion or whatever their latest valuation is, that they really pioneered that less than 10 years ago, about 2008. And now what you see is that most of the really fast Silicon Valley companies have emulated what they're doing and many of them are experiencing similar type results. But I think that's probably a big part of their success, was just this team that can scale across that full customer journey and run the experimentation across that journey.
I love that idea. How does a company that's obviously not Facebook size, but a smaller company, because a lot of people listening to this are going to be in the startup phase to 10 to 20, $30 million a year revenue. That's kind of where most of our clients are.
Sure.
Obviously, they're not the billion-dollar range. What are some of the main hacks that they need to be paying attention to?
Yeah, so again, I'm not sure that I would necessarily refer to it as a hack itself. Because it's, to me, I'm thinking of a hack as sort of a creative solution to a problem. And so you have to understand the problem before you can prescribe the right solution to it. So to me, it's again, like how do you execute this process in a smaller business, a team that's smaller? And I think the process looks similar, but you know, it may initially start with just a single person who's coordinating this cross-functional effort, and initially maybe just borrowing resources from the different groups within the organization, or maybe they're pretty dynamic themselves. If it's only an organization of two or three people, they might be really kind of managing that full customer journey and running the experiments that they're able to run themselves. So a lot of times, super early stage companies need pretty dynamic people who can do a little bit of coding, a little bit of design, a little bit of copywriting, and actually able to kind of execute experiments all the way across. And then over time, people become more specialized as the team starts to scale. But usually the first thing that I recommend a team of, say, sub 10 people is to bring in what I call maybe a growth manager or a growth master, where that person is really, really trying to run to set a target of two or three tests per week and doing whatever it takes to run the best two or three tests that they can run. And so that's borrow resources, execute on their own. But that's the initial part, is just having a target number of tests to run. And if they find that they're always fighting for a designer, then maybe the first hire they go out and make is a designer. Or if they're always fighting for a developer or a copywriter or whatever it is, that's they start to build the team in response to what's preventing them from running the tests. But in my experience, that kind of biggest predictor of long-term growth is just the velocity of tests that you're putting out there, the throughput of tests. And then once you have a good throughput of tests, then it becomes the quality of those tests. And the combination of quality and throughput tends to be what drives growth. Obviously, right product and right market makes a big difference as well.
Sure. No, I totally agree with you on that. I think that's I love what you're just making mention there as far as, what's the biggest hurdle and hire towards that? I know that we've seen the same thing as we've been scaling ClickFunnels is all of a sudden, in fact, we just brought on a full-time graphics guy for that one reason. It seemed to be the one thing that was the issue for us is we've got a lot of graphic work that we're trying to do, whether it's for social media posting or for just a lot of the other internal projects that we have. And we kept outsourcing a lot of that. And literally in the last month, just brought on a full-time graphics guy. And it's amazing how much we've been able to, that we were outsourcing a little, but at this point now we've got a full-time guy in here. We now are doing a ton more all the time just because we know we've got him here. We want to keep his plate full. So I think that's a great, great idea.
Yeah, and in the beginning, I think a little bit of outsourcing or borrowing internal resources is good. And I think the alternative to that that I see is that people see this different approach and how well it works for other companies, and then they spend 6 months trying to hire and build the team and get them working together, and that's 6 months of not being able to execute it. So generally, my recommendation is try to execute it with what you've got, and then fill in the gaps along the way, and you'll grow faster and sooner doing it that way.
Yeah, we've always taken the approach as far as the ready, fire, aim approach, and it seems to work that way for us as well. So I think that's awesome. Well, I know you've got a large book you've got coming out here, tons and tons of experience in hacking growth. What is people going to find when they get your book?
Yeah, what we're really trying to do, we feel like that everybody's moving in this direction. There's been too much success from these super fast growing companies for people not to try to emulate it. And so what we wanted to do was go out and study them, document the best practices, just lay out a lot of the steps for being able to do it. So, the first part of the book is really around kind of some stories, but just still building the growth team, some of the prerequisites that I talked about, and just kind of be setting up the system for managing growth. And then the second part is the playbook. So how do you hack acquisition? How do you hack activation, retention, monetization, and just kind of starting to run the rhythm of growth and execute the process of growth? But we feel like this is the first book that tries to lay out the kind of guidebook for how to make the transition, because it's a big transition for a lot of companies who are starting from these pretty isolated departments to trying to do something that's much more integrated and I think a lot more effective.
I think that's awesome. I know we've got, we all have things coming out about the same time. I know yours is actually the week Russell's book, Expert Secrets, launches April 18th. Yours, Hacking Growth, is April 25th. And it's kind of funny to see we have similar types of concepts and things. We were literally just talking about this the other day with regard to clients. And really, as we take a look at clients, the very first thing, obviously, from a funnel standpoint that we always look at is what's your acquisition funnel? How are you going to acquire those customers?
Yep.
And then once you've got those customers, then how are you going to send them and basically, you know, sell them more different things? And then obviously the last thing is more of a monetization and a frequency as far as how often will they buy from you? So mm-hmm. I love that idea. And again, hacking growth for a company, whether you are just starting or if you're already been scaling, I think some of the main things, you're right, everybody these days is seeing what's happening in Silicon Valley. They're seeing what some of these major companies are going through. And I think, you know, a lot of the technology these days allows us to have this type of rapid growth and expansion mm-hmm. that wasn't available years ago.
Yep. Yeah. It's a lot of collaboration, a lot of measurement. But I think it starts with just being able to study the ones that are doing it really well. And they have the hard part, which was kind of pioneering a lot of this, and everything from, you know, what is the key metric that you use to manage the full team? Having a single success metric makes a really big difference on getting everyone on the same page. And then how do you drive that cooperation between these different groups? It's a big cultural transition that companies need to go through. But I think the alternative is that it's going to be really hard to grow if you don't start to have a fully integrated team and process across that customer journey. And today it's still something that you can get ahead, but I think in a few years, it's going to be something that it becomes a necessity for survival.
I think that's fantastic. What are some of the tips as we kind of get, you know, close to wrapping things up here, any tips or secrets you want to make sure that our funnel hacking community learns from you?
Yeah, so I would say a few. So one is this idea of a single metric. It's referred to as a North Star metric, something tied to aggregation of customer value. So defining how a customer gets value from your product and measuring your success on expansion of value is a key to driving sustainable growth. And then velocity of testing is the biggest predictor that I've found in being able to drive, you know, short-term and long-term growth. If you're not testing, you're not learning. So give yourself targets around the number of tests that you run. And then I guess the other piece would be think about a single person who manages that cross-functional cooperation, who gets everyone on that same page. And we actually have a training course that we launched recently called the Growth Master Training Course that is part of Growth Hackers, where it really – It's a new skill set that I think is pretty distinct from what's out there. It's project management, it's analytical, but it's something that that requires a different skill set to get these teams working together to understand this process and get everyone working together to execute the process. But it's powerful, and I think people will kind of move in different speeds to get there. But I'm seeing everyone from L'Oreal. I did training at L'Oreal pretty recently around this, and you know, down to little tiny companies and everything in between. People are trying to figure it out, and the good news is that there's a lot more resources today than there's ever been before. So once you make up your mind to figure it out, you can do it with the resources that are out there now.
That's awesome, Sean. Can you give me an example of what a North Star metric might be?
Yeah. So for Uber, their North Star metric is rides taken. So every time a ride happens in the Uber system, drivers get value and riders get value. So they measure their overall success rate in the expansion of total rides taken. It's very similar would be Airbnb's, which is nights booked. So number of nights that people stay in a property, that's value for the guests and for the hosts. For Facebook, it's maybe a little more simple, which is monthly active users. So they know they're really just a platform for bringing people together. And so they know that it's not new people who set up profiles, because if they never use those profiles going forward, then they're not getting value from the system. So for them, aggregated value is just the number of people on Facebook every month that come and participate in Facebook is how they measure value. So I don't think there's necessarily a right answer for each business, but you have to start with understanding what is the value of the product and how do I measure an expansion of the aggregate value across my customer base over time. And if you're optimizing your efforts long-term around that, you're much more likely to retain customers. And it's very hard to grow long-term if you're not retaining the customers that you already have.
You know, I've seen that. I've had this conversation with a lot of our inner circle members and things who are at that point where they've really scaled their companies quite a bit. And the main thing that they start looking at is customer churn and finding ways of lowering that churn and really creating a much higher long-term lifetime value for that customer. So I think that's an awesome, awesome idea.
Yeah, you can spend more to acquire them. Once you've delivered value, they're much more likely to have word of mouth and recommend your product to others. And yeah, most of the companies that like Dropbox and LogMeIn that are, I mean, LogMeIn is about a $5 billion value company now, Dropbox $10 billion on their last round. And when I left those companies, yeah, 80% or more of the people were coming in through just pure word of mouth, not even sort of manipulated word of mouth with incentives and other things. And so that word of mouth is a function of a great experience with the product. So you better understand that great experience and maximize the number of people who have that experience. You're going to unlock this much more powerful engine of growth than simply paid acquisition or social or some of these other things that can feed the flywheel, but it's really hard for those things to be the flywheel.
Yes, I understand that for sure. Well, John, anything else before we close things up?
No, that's I think hopefully that's helpful for people.
I think it definitely is. So how do they get the book?
So they can go to growthhacker.com. So very similar. My business is Growth Hackers with an S. Growthhacker.com is a page that lays out where you can buy the book and you know, different types of packages that we offer if you buy multiple books, that sort of thing, if you're a company and you want your team to have it. So or you can just go and search Amazon or Barnes & Noble and you'll find it, called Hacking Growth, written by myself and Morgan Brown.
Fantastic. Well, Sean, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Dave. Appreciate you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.